Well, this morning I wanted to share a little bit just from my heart, and I would challenge you this morning as we prepare to get into the Word. You know, often we listen to the Word, and we sometimes will listen, and we'll be distracted. You know, well, that's normal. We all do that a little bit, right? So we have to shut our brain down and say, listen. But a lot of times we'll listen with an ear that's a little skeptical I'm a little judgmental in the sense of we listen for what benefits others. And we don't always apply it to ourselves. Amen. You ever done that? Where you listen and you say, I wish that person was here to hear that. You ever said that to any? Yeah, I don't know. Just me only? Amen. You ever said that? So I want to challenge you this morning as you listen to the Word, don't say that. Because this is a word for you. And it's not for someone else. Amen. This is a word that's for you to hear, for you to evaluate, for you to line it up. I like how Pastor says it. He says the Word of God, we have to take it and we have to put it alongside ourselves and we have to compare ourselves with it. That is the Word of God, the Word that became flesh. It was Jesus, and we have to line ourselves up to Him and evaluate our life. It's really easy to evaluate everybody else up to Jesus' standards. Sometimes a little more difficult to line ourselves up to it. We like to avoid it. We like to just kind of say, well, I'm okay there. Everybody, you know, it's good. But maybe it's not so good, amen? Maybe it is affecting others, and maybe it's affecting us more than we realize. So this morning as we get into the Word, just think that way, amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this great privilege we have to get into Your Word. What a great privilege we have to be in this church, to be under the Word of God with our pastors, and to be blessed by them, Father. And we thank You for the anointing that You continue to bring, because it's through Your anointing that we are blessed, Father. It's not because of any one person or any great person or any lowly person that we're blessed. It's because of the anointing that flows through them to us. And so, Father, this morning, we just prepare our hearts to hear from the Holy Spirit. Father, I prepare my heart to just be submitted to the Holy Spirit and deliver as You see fit. And, Father, I pray that every single person in this room be prepared to hear it with the same Holy Spirit and align it up to Your Word, the man of Jesus Christ that came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. That Word that became flesh, we line our lives up to Him and Him alone. And we evaluate our success or our failure based on Him and Him alone. Because He is the one that can provide for us what we need to get it right. And to get it right every time. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Bless everyone. Amen. Amen. This morning I wanted to just talk a little bit about some areas. And what I wanted to do is it was just tell you something that may be obvious, but maybe you don't really know. And that is that we are all different. Now, Pastor Cook is different than me. And Tina, my lovely wife here, been married 25 years, praise God. She's different than me. We do have some similarities. I always say in my children, I always see the best and worst of both of us. Amen. That's usually what happens, praise God. So, we are different, though. Every one of us is very, very different. And we know that because we come from different histories. We come from different paths. And we come with different personalities and different makeups. God, that's how God created us. See, you know, if you want to know how creative God can be, just look at how we are different. That's the creativity of God. When He said He wanted children, He didn't want just a cookie cutter one. He didn't want the same one. He didn't want just a single unique one that times a billion. He wanted very unique. He wanted Lindsay to be who Lindsay was. He wanted Aaron to be who Aaron was. He wanted Pastor Cook to be who he's supposed to be. And that's just awesome. We are different. Well, you know, so with those differences, we have different histories as well. We come from different backgrounds. Some come from a good home. Some from a bad. Amen. Some of us made really good choices in our youthfulness. Others made bad. Amen. Anybody make bad choices out there? Perfect. You guys are awesome. There's a couple of you. We'll pray for you. No. I think we all have made some bad choices. Some much worse than others. Amen. Some have good relations with others. Some not so much. Some had good health when they were born. Some didn't have good health. Some had a lot of wealth. Some didn't have a lot of wealth. Amen. So we all are different. We know we're unique in how we are as a person, but we all also have different histories, different backgrounds, different things that have happened to us in our life. And it may seem obvious, but you know what? Sometimes when we see people, we expect them to line up to how we are and not how unique they are. You ever done that? Where you're like, well, I don't understand why they can't be more like me. Well, they're not like you. They're different. With a different past, a different history. And it's not just that. We don't just have different histories. We don't just have different backgrounds, different choices that created different consequences. Some good, some not so good. All those things happen to us all individually, uniquely. And you each have a story. I have a story. You have a story. But we all also have very, 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 very different personalities. Because, you know, you can look at, I've used this illustration a lot of times because it's the biggest family in the church, but you can pick the Huntsman family, you can pick the Baldwin family, you can pick the Shear family. We've got kids, and all of them are very different personalities. But yet they're raised in the same exact environment. Same exact home, same situation, but yet their unique circumstances and their personalities created a different experience for them. Some children are more compliant than other children, so their experience with their parents may be different than the one that's, one's compliant, one's not so compliant. The non-compliant tends to bring out the worst, and the compliant tends to bring out, thank Jesus, I'm so glad you're perfect. But are they compliant? That's the question. They have a different personality, but are they really compliant? Maybe they're just really good at being sneaky. You know, we have this beautiful couple that we love so much that's very close to us. Just so happens to be Tina's sister and my brother-in-law, Debbie and Shane. And then I have another brother, Brian, that's my brother. And we decided to coordinate our kids a little bit. So Scott was born 9 days or 12 days. I don't know. Scott was born 12 days after Josh, and Jordan was born 9 days after Johnny. John, who's named after me, my nephew. And they're very different. I'm just saying. What was really unique, though, is when it's your firstborn. Like, Scott was my firstborn, right? Josh was their firstborn. Well, you do a lot of comparing when you have, you know, you're as close as you are to other people. And you're like, wow, their kid's really compliant. My kid, not so much. Anybody teach Scott here? You know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, look at him now. He looks good. He's a blessing. They're very different. Different past, different personalities. And I remember going places and I was just like, man, Josh is really compliant. But then I realized after he stayed with us for a little while, he is one little sneaky sucker. Scott was out there, and I think Josh kind of stood in the background going, let's see what happens with that. He was just a little bit sneakier, but yet he had issues too. Amen. So what my point is that we all have different personalities. We all have different things we're dealing with. And the way that we react to this world system is going to be how we are a little bit sometimes, even in the same household, even in this same church. With the same pastor, your experience with Pastor Jan might be different than my experience with Pastor Jan. What he has to tell you might be different than what he has to tell me. How he has to treat you in a discipline may be different than how he has to treat me. Because we're all different. Amen? We're all different. And that's very important to understand, because if we know that we're all different, then we're not going to try to fit somebody inside of our own personal little box and how we do things and make them line up just to that, because we're all different. We can just accept each other for our differences. We can just like look at them and go, they're really strange and I don't quite get it. But you know what, God, you've given me the grace to go with them. Amen. We need to do that more and more and more. We got to think that way, because it's so easy for us to judge. So easy for us to judge. So this morning I wanted to talk about two different people as we take a look at these kind of differences we have. We have a successful businessman, a venture capitalist, a wealthy man. Okay, so I want you to think about someone that's wealthy, like millionaires. I don't really know many. I don't know about you, but I wish I knew a couple millionaires. It would be a blessing. But I don't. I don't really know very many of them. I have acquainted a couple big wigs over the years in business, but their mindsets are different for sure. Amen? So I want you to think about this person that is very successful, very wealthy, but I also want you to think about he came from a good home, good family, good background, not a Christian home, but he had a good background. He was raised pretty well. He's an individual that takes risks. He's an individual that pushes himself. He's out there. He's very personality is very much extroverted. He's out there. His personality is. And then I want you to think about another kind of guy, and let's just call him a janitor. Okay? You got this successful, wealthy guy on one side, and you got this janitor on the other side. Amen? He also came from a good family. Good things. His history is a little different. He didn't go to school. It was more of a blue-collar family. The janitor just decided he liked to work. He didn't really want to go to school. He wasn't really somebody that liked to talk in front of people. He's not somebody that really had tons of friends. He was just a different kind of guy. Different history. Both raised in very similar situations, though. Good family, good situation, but two different results. One is very, very wealthy. The other one is just a simple janitor. In a school. Everybody loves him. But he's pretty quiet and just does his job. He's not really out there. Okay? Nobody has an issue with him. He's no weirdo. He's just a blessing to everybody that he comes in contact with. But he's not the kind of guy you're going to see standing up talking in front of everybody. He's just in the background doing a job. And doing it well. Other guy, everybody knows him. He's got wealth. He's got big houses. He's got this. He's got that. So these are the two kind of diverging people that we're talking about here. They're very different. If you looked at them and you judged them from your mindset, they would be very different. One you could say was even very successful. And the other you could say, he's just a janitor. But are they successful or wealthy? Or are they successful in a janitor? Are they a failure as a wealthy man or a failure as a janitor? Well, we'd have to get to know them to really know. But the reason I bring these two people up is because I just want to do it for illustrative purposes because both of them are not saved. Both of them are living a good life. They're fine, but they're not saved. They're not saved. And so one day, the very successful guy has a couple children, loses a child in a death. And it affects him tremendously. And he turns to God and gets saved. Amen? That wealthy guy could walk through the door tomorrow and get saved. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. The janitor goes to a Bible study with a friend and gets saved. Amen? Both different histories, both different experiences. Good families, not a bad. Both kind of turn to God for different reasons. But yet both turn to God. Both turn to God. And both are starting now on a journey that they're just now beginning. They're just now beginning. And the reason I use this illustration, this kind of drastic illustration, because we as a church tend to look much more at the outward appearance of people than we even consider or give ourselves credit for. There is absolutely no difference in the history or the background of those two people. Both great families, great situations. One chose a path of a little simpler working class job. The other had the skills and the wherewithal and maybe had a parent that had a little more wealth and they had college and they went and did that route. But both are in the same exact situation. When they walk through those two doors and they step foot in this room, they're exactly the same in the mind of God. There's no different, but there's a difference in us because one's driving in with his 16 cars and the other one's coming in with a clunker that barely runs. And we look through that set of eyes, whether you realize it or not. We tend to look through that set of eyes, whether you realize it or not. Oh, I'm going to go over and talk to this guy. He's really successful. But is he? I mean, you really don't know. Do you know? All you know is what you see on the outside. All you know is what you can, what appears to you to be true and right. You don't really know. The only way you would really know would be to get to know them face value without the pretense of wealth or without the pretense of poverty or simple. This is how we look at things through the world's set of eyes. This is the cloudiness that we have to deal with. This is the reality we have to live with in living this broken world system. This system isn't right. How it sees things is not correct. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom of God. It's not the way God sees things. He's not like that. I can't emphasize enough. He doesn't see things like that. He doesn't see things the way we see things. He doesn't appear, things don't appear to him like they appear to us. We're living in a broken system. The system's not the way we're supposed to see. But yet, that's the reality. We are different, and we don't recognize that we are different. Which brings up my second point. We are the same. And that's the real reality of it. We are very, very different. Different histories, different wealth, different economic levels. We have different things that have happened to us. But we are the same. We are the same. How, John, can we be different and the same? Well, let's just go look at the Word, because it's just a beautiful thing if you read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17. When we get saved and we walk through those two doors, whatever position we're in life, we're the same. We're the same. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what Mike Golder thinks. It don't matter, Mike, what you think about those two people. Oh, you might pay attention to the one, but the other one is exactly the same. You might see the one. Why? Because, oh my God. You know, and I'm going to talk to you as just a little bit of a reality in the church, because I know it exists. It's not untrue. And I just love my pastor. He said it again Wednesday night. I love it. He doesn't know people after money, and I love that about him. How does his heart? He has to constantly be on guard to make sure he maintains that, though. It isn't one time you say that and it's done, right? If you're a leader and you're a pastor and you know people after they're giving, it's a very big burden to have. Trust me. Because I have to look at it once in a while in my position in the church. I don't really like looking at it. I'll be quite truthful with you. And I thank God that He's graced other people to do that. But I understand why a pastor doesn't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it. I do not want to even think that way. But the frailty of our carnal mind is too weak. Too weak sometimes to not think that way. And you have to constantly be on guard and say, heart, this isn't right. You can't know people after the outward appearance or fleshly things, because once you do, you will completely miss the heart of God. See, we'll see it through that set, but God doesn't see it. He just doesn't see it that way. When He sees a Christian walk into this room, He sees someone the same. We see different, He sees the same. We see different, He sees the same. I want to be more like Him, not more like the world. And a lot of churches, I'm sorry, but they know way too much about people. Too many pastors know way too much about people's money. Because people, I just know from past history and even seeing it, it's easy when people start giving. I mean, you talk about, okay, if someone has millions and they start coming to the church and tithing, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I mean, you could take a couple millionaires and it would just take all of us and just put us all to shame and our giving. Like, oh my gosh, two people, really? But that's the reality. That is true. I mean, there are people out there that make 2.5, 3, 4, 5 million a year. In income. It's hard for me to fathom that. Hard for you to fathom that? I can't even fathom having that much money. But there are people that have it. There are people that have it. And we can't know people that way. God doesn't know people that way. That's what the whole essence of the book of James is about. Should know people after their money. He says when one comes in with fine rings and clothes and all that stuff, you put him in the front and you're going to sit everybody else in the back. That ain't right. That's what James said. That ain't right. See, there's a lot in the Word of God about keeping your heart right. And money is one of those areas that just really messes us up. But this isn't a message about money, so let's move on. We are the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. But God has distributed to each one as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. We were called as a slave. Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. And listen, in this day and age, it was a big deal to be a slave and a free man. When this book was wrote, there were slaves. And they were owned. And they were second-class citizens. They were not to be looked at and go, oh, that's a perfect, great guy. No, that wasn't the way it was worked. If you were a slave, you were slime. Depends on the culture you're in. Some were better than others, probably. But if you were a slave, you were owned. You were property. It was the same as owning a house. You own your car out there. You owned a slave. It's the same exact thing. You would trade your car for a slave. That's how it was in that system. It's hard for us to fathom that. We haven't lived in that system. And that's really not as big a part of the world anymore, but it is out there. Still exists. And you imagine you get saved as a slave. You get saved as a slave and you walk into the church. You know, you know why Paul was saying this, because they came in with a lowly mindset. And he wanted to make sure they knew that just because you're a slave in this natural world system, just because you're owned here, you should be considering yourself God's free man, because he looks at you as free. God looks at it different. He looks at it different. He looks at it way different. He looks at it completely different than we do. For he was called on the Lord's, verse 22, while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. We're to have a mindset that we're supposed to stay with God in the position he established us in. And when we get saved, we are free. We are free. Go real quick to Romans chapter 8. A little bit more on this. I want you to see real clearly that God does not look. God does not look at you, no matter what position you're in this natural world, as a second-class citizen. He only sees you as a citizen of his kingdom. And we're on equal footing. Amen? Chapter 8, verse 29 says, For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. Whom he justified, those he also glorified. I'll read it again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Amen. That predestination was not predicated on you or me. Predicated on Jesus. And when he went to the cross and he died, we became heirs of that. We became heirs of that. We're joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ in everything he has, everything he is, everything he wants. We're joint heirs in it. Amen? He is the only... He is the only thing we should think about when it comes to our life. He is the only thing we should think about We shouldn't look at other people and say, oh, what about them or what about this person? It's not worth it. It's not worthy to do that. He is the only object of your affection. He is the only one that you should be, like Pastor said, you line him up next to you and you look at him and you evaluate your life. You compare your life to him and you say, God, he is who I want to be like. Not the guy walking through the door that isn't even saved, that we think so prosperous. And so he's a mess. He's a mess. He's not someone to look at. He's not someone to have affection over. He's a mess. He needs to be served. He's a baby in the body of Christ. He needs Jesus. He needs him now. But yet we as people put him on a pedestal thinking they're something that. No, they're not that. They're not that. They're not all that. Now, can they be? Yes, God will use anybody. God will use anybody. Can they be? Yes, God will use anybody. Can they be? Yes, God. But they have to go through the same gauntlet you do. 72 years. He's gone through the gauntlet in his life. Amen? So there's something of wisdom in 72 years being born again, serving the Lord. And I know Pastor Cook, and I know his heart. And I know that he has a heart for God. He's in the Word. He cares about the anointing of God. I know that because I know him personally. I'm not going to look at some guy that makes billions of dollars a year because he's super popular in this world system and put him on a pedestal above this man right here. Why? Because this man has 72 years in the gauntlet of Christianity. 72 years of trying to live out his life in the purpose and the presence of God. That guy has, I don't know how many years living for himself. It is super easy to live for yourself. It's a lot harder to live for someone else. I'm not saying Pastor Cook's perfect. He's got to grow up. Pastor, you can grow up. You grow up. You ain't done, are you? No, I know that. I also know him that. I know he's good. I know he's bad. I know him. He's got to grow up. You better work on it, Pastor Cook. I'm just telling you. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. None of us have ever arrived, and we never will. I like what Paul said. He said, I go for the prize of the upward high calling of Christ. That's why we line ourselves up to Jesus, because we're never going to achieve it. He's like that rabbit. You know, you ever seen that little game where the rabbit runs around and, you know, you're chasing behind him and it's like you never catch him? That's Jesus. you're going to be running around that circle for the rest of your life and you're never going to fully catch him. Which is just so cool, because we will never, ever quit growing. We'll never stop. We'll never quit. We're always going to have an opportunity to be better. Always going to have an opportunity to reflect and say, could have done that one better. Could have thought about that one better. Could have gave on that one better. Could have did better. Whatever it is. Chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works. And whenever you see that word works, you might as well just put it in the world system. It's not based on this world system's economics. It's not based on this world system economics. It's based on something else. Because if it's in this world system of economics, we have something to boast about. We don't have anything to boast about. We just get it because he gave it to us. It was a free gift. We got it. We're saved. That's it. I can't earn it any more than you can earn it. You can't get it any more than I can get it. We're just continuing to grow up, but I am saved. I have God in my heart. He has called me the righteousness of God in Christ. I know that I'm saved. There's a blessing to that. And regardless of what position you are in the kingdom of God, in the sense of how much you know, 72 years or I don't even know, some less than that years, I still have our ways to go. But we're the same. And remember, we are different. Remember, this is all about we're the same. We're the same. We're the same. Your position in God is the same as my position. We're the same. We are absolutely the same. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we don't get to boast on this worldly work system, but we can boast and have glory in the works that come from Jesus. We can feel good about working in Him. Working in Him. Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. When I'm walking someone and somebody can see me, they can see the fruit on my tree, I'm walking in them. If that's good and godly and right, and it's based on what Christ is doing in me, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who were called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision made in the hands, flesh by hands, that in the time you were without Christ, being aliens, you were aliens. Those two guys were aliens. They didn't have any citizenship. They're aliens. They're not residents. They're aliens of the kingdom of God. They didn't have citizenship. But, you know, when they got saved, they became citizens. Amen. So we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We had no hope as Gentiles, but God made a way. He made a way. But now in Christ Jesus, we, you who were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He Himself is our peace, verse 14, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, the division. We have access to God through Christ. We are the same. We're His workmanship, predestined in Christ for the good works that He's made for us to walk in. We're His workmanship. Amen. We are His workmanship. We are the same. We may be different, but we're the same. Lonnie's the same as me. I'm the same as Pastor Cook, because I'm working out the same salvation with much fear and trembling, working towards being closer to Him, lining Him up next to me and saying, I need to be like You, Jesus. Help me be more like You. I can't judge Him because You didn't judge Him. I have to forgive Him because You forgave Him. I want to be more like You. Help me forgive Him. Help me forgive Him. Help me forgive Him. Every one of us have to do that daily. It's a daily thing. That's why the Bible says daily take up your cross. Daily. It's not a one-time fits-all done thing. You have to work out this salvation with much fear and trembling. It's not that we have to work out being saved. We are saved, but we have to work out being more like Jesus every day. We have to work out being closer to Him every day. We have to work out thinking like Him every day. Whether I'm a billionaire venture capitalist or I'm a janitor in a closet, I have to think more like Him. This guy, he may have to just humble himself, stop talking, and listen to other people once in a while. Because he has all the right answers, but his answers aren't God's answers. They're His answers, not God's answers. This guy might have to get out of the janitor's closet and say, you know what, I've learned something through watching and serving others that you need to do. He may need to step up and say something. Two different people, two diverging paths, but yet they come together in Christ. And in Christ, we are one. In Christ, we are His workmanship. In Christ, we'll serve perfectly. In Christ, we're fitted together. In Christ, we're one body. In Christ, we are one unified church. In Christ, there's no division. In Christ, we serve each other. In Christ, there's no lack. In Christ, there is nothing that we can't have that He says we can't have. We're not lacking anything. In Christ, we got it all. In Christ, we have a perfect solution to every one of these world's ailments. In Christ. In Christ. Amen. In Christ, we have it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the third point. First point was what? We're different. Second point was what? The third point is we have a place. We have a place. We're designed to fit somewhere. God just didn't leave us to be separated. He left us to be unified in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. What is an idol? Something that we put up in this natural world system above God. That's the best way to look at it. It could be anything. It could be money. It could be a car. It could be a house. It could be your family. It could be anything. You put something up above God, you got an idol. If it's in this world and it's above God, it's an idol. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is. But we were carried about. Now, we were carried about by these, carried about to these dumb idols. I like how he says dumb. I mean, that sounds good. They're stupid. They're just dumb, however you want it. However you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the one that unifies us. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of these tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Amen. We are one body in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Verse 13. Whatever Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. For in fact the body is not one member. But many. You cannot be an isolated Christian. You need the body of Christ. You cannot be a Christian that hangs out by yourself. You need the body of Christ. You need the gifts that are differing. He needs you. He needs you to be a part of the body. But you need Him to join you to that body. It's a blessing when we do. Amen. We will be blessed when we do. It's very common to see people kind of step out of the Lord when they pull themselves away from the body. Because we pull ourselves out of the gifts that are differing for our benefit. You know, and sometimes things get hard. I'm not lying. Because we are different. And we have these different histories, and guess what? We're not all perfect. And so even in the church, you know, we can be stupid and do stupid things. You know, Pastor Mike, I like him. He's a really good Pastor Mike. But he can do stupid things once in a while. Right? The brother says it's true. It must be true. He's a dumb dumb. Just don't be carried away to dumb idols, okay? You'll be all right. Mike is a good guy. But he's not perfect. There you go, Mike. You got one fan. All right. That's awesome. Pretty darn close. He's not perfect. He needs to be rubbing elbows with other people, because it's in that rubbing elbows, it's that iron sharpening iron, it's that grinding together that we do where we make ourselves better. And there's friction, there's pain in it, but we gotta do it, amen? We gotta do it. We can't pull ourselves away because we need the body of Christ. When I'm gone or something and I just miss service for a while, I miss it. Even though I'm more of an introvert and I don't talk to everybody, and that's the truth. I'm not a big talker, but I do miss being here. I just miss seeing you. Whether I talk to you or not, I miss it because you are important to me. I need your gift. I need your gift. Whatever it is, I need it. It may just be your smiling face. Me and Tina went on a trip just recently, and Tina will know what I'm talking about when I say this. We decided to go walking on the beach, you know, in the mornings. And every morning there was this old guy, right? We walked down the beach every morning, and she can attest, every morning I was like, that guy just makes me happy right there. I don't know what when I'm like 80 and I'm walking with he's walking down like this. He's old, walking fast, 90. I don't know. He's older than you, Pastor Cook, for sure. You're not walking like this yet. He was smiling. I mean, every morning he made me smile. It's the simplest thing. I don't know if he was an angel. It could have been. But I remember in my mind thinking, this guy is cool. And I didn't even say anything but good morning to him. He made me happy just with a smile. You don't know what gift you bring in the body of Christ, but you better bring it. Because we need you. Amen? We need you. No matter what your stupid history is. Amen? We need you. Go to Romans chapter 12. Let's just wrap up here with the verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 3. Oh, I should turn there. I'm reading 1 Corinthians still. That will help. Verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in our body." There's a lot of people here. And all you do the same thing. We all do the same thing, amen? We don't all get a call from pastor one day and he says, "I want you to teach." But he does that to some people. But we all have gifts differing, amen? We all have gifts that we have that God needs to use, amen? "For as we have many members in one body, not all the members have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, you're a member of me, and I'm a member of you. We're members of one another. We have our gifts. They're differing according to the grace that God has given us, but let us use them." Amen. Let us use them. Use your gift. Don't squander it. Use your gift for the body of Christ, because your gift is something that I don't have, and Pastor Cook's gift is something I don't have. There is no you're above me or I'm above you. There's no billionaire. There's no janitor in the kingdom of God. It's just us. We're existing together. We need to give our gift to the body of Christ. We got to do it because others need it. It doesn't even have to be hard. It could be as simple as a smile walking down the road, and it can be a gift. That gift can be something God can use to change someone, to make them happy. That guy made me happy. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And I still think about it. That's just crazy if you think about a simple smile being able to do that, but it can. It can. It doesn't matter what your gift is. Use it. Use it, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve a great God. If you go on in Romans chapter 12, past those verses, it really tells you some of the things you can do to be better and how to use your gifts, amen, and the attitude to have in using them. And it's a good thing to read. I would encourage you to read it if you get a chance. Romans chapter 12 is good. 13, 14, 15, all those verses are really, really good. Amen. Well, this morning, we have communion. And I thought about, you know, how should we take up communion this morning? And I, you know, we do it. I just want to say that sometimes we do things. It can be anything we do in the body of Christ. Sometimes we do things through religious tradition. And pastors talked a lot about communion and not doing it through religious tradition lately. I think we're taught very well in this church about what the communion table is about. We're blessed in that way. We're not just taking it because, you know, we're on the service this Sunday. Even though we do put it on the service on a certain Sunday, just so we don't forget. Amen. That's not because we want to be traditional. That's because we don't want to forget. Because it's easy to forget. Right? Pastor Cookie, it's easy. But it's 4 months. So we did that a while back. It was 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. We hadn't taken communion. It's like, wow, we should probably take communion. It's going to be a good thing. It's a good thing to remind ourselves. It's a good thing to come into the worship service and worship. You know, that's a tradition. That Tammy starts the service with worship, and then we do announcements, and then we do worship, and that's kind of a traditional thing. We do that. That's like the routine. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that routine. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Why? Because it's an opportunity for us to enter in as a body into the presence of God. And why not give God that opportunity every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time we're together? Amen? It's a tradition, but it's a good tradition. Communion is a tradition, but it's a good tradition. And the reason it's a good tradition is because we can be reminded of the things I told you this morning. Reminded of how we are one body. Reminded that we have to rub elbows with Jesus. Reminded that we as individuals have to be honorable before God. And our responsibility before Him. Not predicated on Pastor Cook. Not predicated on my beautiful wife Tina. My walk before God's not hindered by her. It's not. It can't control it because I'm on my own. That's what the communion table means to me. That I'm in the body of Christ, and regardless of what someone does to me or doesn't do to me, regardless of how they treat me, I have to be reminded to forgive. So that I can continue in fellowship with the body, so that it would not be broken, that it would remain intact, that body would remain where it's supposed to be, together. And if I'm one joint of the body, if I'm one member of the body, if I pull myself away from the body and I divide myself, then that's what communion is all about, is to bring me back into fellowship and back, is to remind me that I gotta stay joined up. Amen. It's nothing wrong with that. It's a good tradition. It's a good tradition. So, real quick, let's look at 1 Corinthians, just real quick before we get into the communion table. Go ahead, ushers, come up here and let's get prepared to do that. I'm doing this a little different this morning because the message that God put on my heart really, to me, is about communion. About how we're all different, but we are all the same in Christ. And that we have a place in the body of Christ and we're supposed to be joined up with it. Amen? That's a communion message. What do you think, Pastor Cook? Communion message? Works for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now, this is right before all those verses I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right? You guys remember those now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren? I don't want you to be ignorant. You know those verses I just read? This is right before that. Right before all that. Guess what Paul talked about? He talked about communion. And he brought to their remembrance, he brought to the Corinthians church, was a little bit messed up. They were kind of dividing themselves up. He brought to them a remembrance of the communion table and what Jesus did at the Lord's Supper. So let's look at verse 23. So it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which I have broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." So we should examine ourselves when we're doing this. Amen? We're supposed to examine ourselves. That's what the remembrance has to be. We got to remind ourselves that it's not just a tradition. It's not religion. It's not something we're doing just on the first Sunday of the month or whatever Sunday we do it. It's not that. It's an examination time. And you can take communion anytime, but it's a good thing to do in the body, as a body, because we need to examine our relationships with others. Some of you guys this morning, remember what I told you at the beginning of the service? I said, I want to caution you, do not listen to this message and think about other people. How many of you guys did that? I hope you didn't. But you probably could have. But I said, this is a message where you need to look at yourself and examine yourself. And that's what he's saying here. He's not saying, hey, examine all your neighbors and tell them what there's wrong with them. He didn't say that. That's not what Jesus was saying. He didn't say to the disciples when he broke the bread, he didn't say, hey, Peter, I'll tell you the secret here. Look over at John and judge him. That's what you got to do. He's a real loser. He didn't say, Jesus did not say that. He said, no, here's the example I'm going to put before you. I'm going to break bread. You guys got to remain intact. And the way you remain intact is by serving each other. And he washed their feet and he did all kinds of things. And he talked about all kinds of things. And it was all about serving others. Amen. Amen. Just 1 second, John. Stand by there. Appreciate you. But let a man so, verse 28, let a man so examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we judge ourselves, then God's not judging us. Think about that. If we examine ourselves and quit looking at other people and judging them, he won't judge us. He'll just help us. He's just there to help us. He says, look at yourself, judge yourself, be a self-examiner. And guess what? When we do that, then God says, I will give you all that you need to come out of what you're at. He delivers you from that darkness you're in. There are many people that have hurts that go back years from abuse or different things. You got to let those things go. Examine your own self, and even if someone did you wrong, forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. Because if you let it go, then God can work with you, and He can help you, and He can heal you. He can bring about change in your life if you let it go. If you let it go, He can begin to do things in you. But if you don't let it go, then He can't work with you. And he says many will get sick and many will sleep before their time because they're not examining what's in their own heart of unforgiveness towards others. Let it go. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We have to do that because Jesus laid down the example when he let it go at the cross and he died for us. He let us go. He let us go. He didn't judge us anymore. He said, I let him go. I'm going to do this. I forgive them. I'm going here for others, God, not me. But I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. He is the example. Amen? But when we are judged, we are chastened, verse 32, by the Lord, that we may be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Lest you come together for judgment, and the rest will be set in order when I come. Amen. Paul was trying to tell the Corinthian church, there's a reason we take communion. It's not just a feast. There's a reason we take it, and we have to examine ourselves. We have to judge what's in us. Amen. So this morning, as we do that, let's keep that in our mind. Amen. I'll try not to spill this. How does Pastor do this? I don't know. You drink a little out and then you set it there. That's non-traditional. I'm just saying. But it's okay because I'm going to judge myself with the rest of that cup. Amen. Praise the Lord. So just like Jesus did when he broke the bread, let's eat this thing here. As a remembrance of what he did. His flesh was broken for us. Amen. His body broken for us so that we could remain intact. We're one body in Him because He broke His body for us. We don't have to be broken away from each other because He did it. We get to come together. Amen. So let's eat. Amen. And then He took the wine and He said, hey, drink this. And remember, this will cleanse you. Cleanse your relationships. Cleanse your fellowship. Cleanse each other. Amen. So let's drink. Praise the Lord. You guys know the routine. Pass it to the middle. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be reminded. Amen. It's good to be reminded of who He is and what communion's about. So remember, as you leave, we are different. We're very different people. Amen. Stop looking at people and getting them in, making them fit in your little box, Mike. I don't want to fit in your box, Mike. I'm just picking on you this morning. Sorry. I don't want to be in your box. I'm different than you, buddy. Amen. We're different, but we are the same in Christ. Amen. And we can fellowship together because we are the same. We're one body, one member, jointly fit together. Perfect. Fit. Just, that's amazing how God does things. He doesn't do things weird. He does things right. Amen. We're fit just right where we're supposed to be. Praise God. Stand up and we'll release. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved and you'd like to get saved, we definitely want to give you an opportunity to do that. So please come up front. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't know Him as your personal Savior, come up front after we release. We want to pray with you. If that you are out of fellowship, you want prayer over maybe even taking communion, if you'd like to get prayer for that, we would love to pray for you. Pastor Cook, myself will be here. We'll just hang out here for a little bit and just make sure we pray with you. Also, if you have some kind of ailment in your body and you'd like prayer for that, amen, we're here to do that as well. Or any other prayer you might have. We'll definitely be here. God can meet your needs. I can't do it, but God can do it. That's where those gifts of differing come in, right? He distributes as He will. So if Pastor asked me to come stand here and preach this morning, well, the same anointing He operates in, I get to operate in, because the same Jesus He serves, I serve. The same Holy Spirit He serves, I serve. So I get to work like He gets to work. Amen. I get to just rest under the load of the Pastor Jan anointing. That's a good thing. So it's a blessing. Amen. And you get to be blessed by it too. So if you need prayer, then come on up here if you need it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for these people. We ask that You just bless them, Father God. We thank You for Pastor Jan, Pastor Sue. Just bless them, Father God. Help them to just have a good day, Father God. And we just ask that You bless every person as they go. Keep them safe, Father. We love You. We thank You for Your body being joined together. In unity, Father. We want to be in more unity, serving each other, Father God, so that we can serve our community, get better. We can be a better witness of who Christ is. And everywhere we go, at work, Father God, our families, and everywhere we go, Father, we want to be a good example. So this morning, this afternoon, Father God, we just thank You and praise You for all that You're doing through us and in us this morning and this afternoon, Father. Be a blessing to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up front if you'd like prayer.